Welcome, welcome, and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Rob Zicari Show. Yes, huge night for DT and the Republican establishment have officially lost their minds. I mean, they have officially lost their minds. Wow. All right, we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about a lot of things today, but let me first give you a quick traffic report. If you live here in California, specifically Los Angeles, and more specifically the San Fernando Valley area, be advised that there is a Nancy Reagan procession on its way from Santa Monica to the Ronald Reagan Library. So traffic is going to be, well, traffic's going to be pretty heavy because there's about 90 cars, about 90 limousines and police motorcycles and you name it that would go along with a First Lady's funeral procession. Have you ever been behind a funeral procession for just some schlub? Huh? We've all done that. We've all gotten caught in a funeral procession for a schlub. Well, imagine a beloved First Lady. Forget about it. Forget about it. You ain't going anywhere. So stay off the streets. Stay off the streets. Just some advice. That's the Rob Zicari Show traffic update. We used to do traffic updates on here about a year ago. We would say traffic's bad, weather's good. That was for my local audience members. All right, so let's talk about what happened last night. It was huge. It really was. It was huge. Now, remember, for this past week, the establishment, I mean, let's face it, it's not a small group of people. It's the establishment. It's the Republican higher-ups. Hell, it's even the people that run the party. Rance Priebus. See, it's even the bosses. They have been spending millions of dollars. Something like $30 to $35 million on attack ads against Donald Trump. $30 to $35 million on attack ads. This past week, you've seen $30 to $35 million attack ads. Mitt Romney, you all remember good old Mitt, the Mormon superstar himself. Came out with a blistering, just a blistering press conference for, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes. Say it was about 20 to 25 minutes. He had the teleprompter up there saying how Donald Trump was a charlatan, a con artist, a con man. He brought up Trump Airlines, Trump Vodka, Trump Steaks, Trump University. God, the list goes on and on. Just everything. Everything he could think of that Trump has been involved in, good or bad, it was brutal. It was brutal. And then that was followed by, literally followed by, a Fox News debate that was brutal. I mean, it was brutal. The word was sent to Megyn Kelly. The word was sent to Wallace, Bear. And that word was stop Trump. We need to stop Trump. We need to bury him. We are running out of time. This is our only shot. This is it. We're not going to get another shot at him until after Florida and Ohio and Michigan and Mississippi. We have to take him out now. So you had Mitt Romney in the morning unloading. And then, of course, every single news outlet was playing the Mitt Romney speech. And they were playing the clips of Mitt Romney talking about the Donald Trump failures or perceived failures. And of course, nobody fact-checked. Nobody fact-checked. So when Mitt Romney said, whatever happened to Trump Water? Whatever happened to Trump Magazine? Whatever happened to Trump wine? Whatever happened to Trump vodka? A great businessman, he is not. That was the clip that NBC would play over and over. CBS would play over and over. ABC. Hell, it was lifted right from a BuzzFeed article. It was lifted from a John Oliver bit. You know, last night with John Oliver, last week with John Oliver, whatever that English, whatever he is. It was lifted from a liberal playbook. It was lifted from a liberal playbook. So that was a clip that everybody ran. So you had all of this incoming. I mean, it was brutal. It was brutal. Countless people coming out saying, Trump is a Nazi. Trump is a fascist. Trump, brutal, just brutal. Absolutely brutal. So we had an election Saturday. We had primary Saturday. And Trump split those primaries. Well, it was actually three caucuses, one primary. And Trump split them. Trump split them. And what happened? Trump is going down. The attack ads worked. People are now seeing his failed businesses. And again, nobody fact-checked. Nobody fact-checked. They just kept replaying the Mitt Romney clips over and over. What happened to Trump Magazine? What happened to Trump Magazine? What happened to Trump Water?
What happened? All failures. Trump Airlines, failure. Over and over and over and over. Trump only did two wins. He should have won. Ted Cruz, he... So this was all week. This was all week. Article after article. It's over. It's over for Trump. It's over. It's done. It's finished. And then yesterday, something amazing happened. Something amazing happened. We had elections in Mississippi, Michigan, Hawaii, and Idaho. Yes, Mississippi, Michigan, Hawaii, and Idaho. And let me give you some numbers. Let me break this down for you. Mississippi, Trump wins 47%. Yes, 47%. Ted Cruz, 36%. John Kasich, 9%. And little Marco Rubio, 5%. So, apparently, a week's worth of brutal attack ads, Fox News debate attack, brutal press, like just Nazi did that, apparently didn't faze anybody in Mississippi. And it also didn't faze the evangelicals because Trump won with the evangelicals. Yes, once again, Donald Trump won with a group of voters that Ted Cruz was supposed to own. Remember, Ted Cruz is supposed to own the South and evangelicals. Well, he took a thumping in Mississippi. A thumping. And then we move on down to Michigan. Yes, Michigan. Now remember, Michigan is a border buddy with Ohio. Michigan is not so evangelical, okay? Michigan is not so evangelical. And lo and behold, guess what? The people that not just Donald Trump says he will do good with, but other people who are actually honest, believe it or not, there are some pundits that speak some truth. They have said Trump would do good with. And guess what? He did. Michigan saw 37% vote for Donald Trump. 37%. Of what they call Reagan Democrats went for Donald Trump. 25% went for Ted Cruz. 24% went for the governor of the neighboring state. That's John Kasich. And 9% for little Marco. See the trend with Marco here? See the trend? Mississippi 5%. Michigan 9%. This is the establishment's golden boy. He doesn't seem too golden. Little Elian Gonzalez doesn't seem to be too golden. And then we move to Hawaii. Yes. Hawaii. They had a caucus. They had a caucus in Hawaii. And lo and behold, Donald Trump wins Hawaii with 42% of the vote to Ted Cruz's 33%, to Marco Rubio's 13%, and John Kasich's 11%. And then finally, we get to Idaho. Now, Idaho seemed to be the only place that Mitt Romney had an impact in. Yes. Yes. Mitt Romney had an impact in Idaho. And you say, Rob, what happened in Idaho? I didn't get the results last night. I've been living under a rock somewhere. Well, I'll give you the results. You see, in Idaho, Ted Cruz won. And he got 45% of the vote. Donald Trump got 28% of the vote. Little Marco Rubio got 16% of the vote. And John Kasich got 7% of the vote. Now you ask, well, how was Mitt Romney responsible for this? What did Mitt Romney do? Well, let me fill you in a little. Idaho is not first, but they're second. That's a pretty big deal. Second. They have the second highest population of, drumroll, Mormons. Yes. Utah's first. Idaho is second. Mormons. You know, Joseph Smith, the magic underpants. Yeah, Mormons. Well, Mitt Romney is a Mormon. Yes, Mitt Romney is like those people on that TV show, Sister Wives. Mormons. Mormons believe, not all Mormons. All right, I don't want to paint all Mormons with a magic underpants wide brush, but there's a good portion of the Mormon people that believe in multiple wives. Yes. Yes. That's Mormonism. And in Idaho, they look at Mitt Romney as their living Joseph Smith. They do. They look at him as Joseph Smith reincarnated. They said, oh my God, we're so close. We almost had one of our own in the White House. There would have been not one first lady, but there would have been five first ladies. It would have been spectacular. It would have been amazing. So, Idaho, home of magic underpants, yes, close to 10% Mormons, I kid you not. Anywhere between 5 and 10% Mormons. So, conventional wisdom is this. If Ted Cruz and Mitt Romney could just convert, okay, if they could just convert 2 to maybe 3 million people to the magic underpants religion and kind of spread them out all over the East Coast, then the Mitt Romney robocalls just might work. They just might work. But they can't convert 3 million people to wear magic underpants and get them placed in Florida, Ohio, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. Ted Cruz really doesn't have a shot at this nomination. Just like I said a month or so ago. Ted Cruz has to win the South. That's the only chance he has. The only chance Ted Cruz has is winning the South. Because once you go away from the Bible thumpers, once you go away, and I don't say that with any disrespect to anybody that listens to our show that is Christian, but Bible thumpers and the people that I'm referring to are the ones that actually believe a president should run the country based on the Bible. They believe the president should wake up in the morning, read scripture, and enact policies based on scripture. He should run this country based on scripture, which is eerily similar to the savages in the Middle East that cut people's heads off, drown people in cages, and prevent women from going to school and driving a car. They govern their countries based off of scripture, based off of what the prophet Muhammad has said. So once Ted Cruz left the areas that have people that literally go to the polls based on scripture, based on their pastors or priests or whoever is in church telling them, all of you must vote for Ted Cruz. Jesus would want us to vote for Ted Cruz. And Glenn Beck is running around saying, God killed Antonin Scalia so that we would have Ted Cruz as president. Once you got away from those people that actually listened to Glenn Beck and listened to Ted Cruz talk about praying for him to win an election, praying for him to make a decision, asking Jesus to tell him what way to turn. Once you got away from them, Cruz would be in trouble. Cruz would be in trouble. Once you got into Michigan, once you got into Ohio, Once you gotten into New Jersey, once you got into those places, Ted Cruz is going to get buried. So the only shot he had was Georgia and Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, and they all went for Trump. They all went for Trump. They all went for Trump. How Mississippi had the governor. The governor of Mississippi backed Ted Cruz. Governor of Mississippi backed Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz and John Kasich had Mitt Romney making robocalls for them. I tell you, the establishment has no clue. They have no clue. They really don't. It's amazing. Everything that's going on in this primary season, everything they're hearing from the voters in the exit polls, they're angry with Washington. They want an outsider. All of the things they're hearing, they ignore, and they continue to ignore. Prince Priebus ignores. Just ignore, flat out ignores. Think about that. Everything they are doing, no matter how loud the base, how loud the Republican voters, and we keep saying base as it's a small group. Let's face it. It's the Republican vote. You basically have the Republican voters and independents and Democrats. Who are all saying, we want something different. We want something different. We want something different than Hillary Clinton. We want something different than Jeb Bush. We want something different than Marco Rubio. We want something different. I mean, Michigan went for Bernie Sanders. Michigan went for Bernie Sanders. You know, that's why this notion, and I don't want to get too far off. I don't want to get too far off this topic right now. But that's why it's funny that this notion that in order for Republicans to win, and even Democrats, if you want to be, you know, if you want to be real, this notion that Republicans need the Latin vote. If they don't get 30, 40%, they're done. They're good. And other people have said this before. Other, I should say, lower-leveled pundits have said this before. But nobody makes a big deal out of it. Because if you make a big deal out of it, you change the narrative. And the whole Latino vote and immigration and all of these things are kind of tied into each other. And if you actually say the truth of what the reality is, it kind of messes up people's narrative. But the states
that are heavily populated with Latinos are states that Republicans really have no shot of ever winning. And that's the fact. The states that Republicans need to focus on winning to change that electoral map are states like Michigan, states like Ohio, states like Pennsylvania. These are states that don't have millions of Latinos in them. The Latino population in Michigan is practically non-existent. What is it that Michigan needs? Jobs. What has affected Michigan the most? Outsourcing jobs. Losing industries. The auto industry. I mean, you could buy a house in Detroit for, I think, $1,000. Michigan won for Bernie Sanders. And Michigan went for Donald Trump. And if you think about it, and you want to sit there and play with the numbers, you know, Republican establishment players are so good at going, well, if you take this number here and you put that number here and you, well, if you take Cruz's number and put it with Rubio's number, they get crushed with Trump and Kasich together. They get crushed. But I digress. So the robocalls were done by Mitt Romney, the guy who lost in 2012. The guy that got hammered in 2012 by a weak president. A guy that lost the nomination 4 years before that to a 103-year-old man. Yeah. A two-time loser. Somebody that did not inspire the Republican Party. Not the party elders. Not the donor class. But the voters. The people that count. You know, Mississippi, Michigan, Georgia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida. These people were uninspired. They went, ugh, Mitt Romney, ugh, we're going to go with the 100-year-old guy. And then 4 years later, they went, ugh, okay, we'll go with him. We'll hold our nose and go with him. We don't want him. But we'll go with him. And he lost. He lost an election he should have won. And here we are 4 years later. And the establishment, the party elders, the donor class, the pundits. Let's face it, your Anna Navarros, S.E. Cups,
Matt Lewis, all of these people are all establishment types. They're all establishment types. And they all went, you know, yeah, definitely would be a good idea to have Mitt Romney, two-time loser, call. Yeah, we'll have him. We'll get a message with him, and we'll make millions of calls in Mississippi and Michigan, Hawaii and Idaho, and yeah, that's what we'll do. That's what we're gonna do. So now you got all these voters who despised and still despise Mitt Romney, picking up their phone and they hear, "Hi, it's Mitt Romney. I just want you to get out and vote for John Kasich. Donald Trump is a bad man. He is a huckster. He is a con artist." Click, bonk. Who is that? Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney? What did Mitt Romney want? He wanted us to vote for John Kasich. Oh, wow. Gotta vote for Donald Trump. Whatever Mitt Romney says, we do the opposite. Whatever Mitt Romney says, we do the opposite. I mean, think about that. Mitt Romney was rejected twice by the Republican Party. And so they have Mitt Romney then call the voters and tell them not to vote for the person that they want, that they are turning out in droves. Turning out in droves to vote for. It's amazing. It's amazing. When they're sitting on this little island, you know, we talked about it yesterday, the big Republican secret meeting with Karl Rove's and the tech guys, the billionaires, and Bill Kristol. They're out there discussing how to stop Trump. How to stop Trump. What they have to do to stop Trump. What they have to do to deny Trump the nomination. That's what they did. They brainstormed. They brainstormed. Karl Rove pulled out all sorts of research material. Look, here's weakness. Here's this, that. Tim Cook, if you give us $5 billion, if you give us this, if you give us that, we can stop him. Instead of actually breaking down what it is that voters like about Trump. Instead of actually sitting there and brainstorming, and you got to imagine there's a lot of big brains in that room, right? You got to imagine, you're talking about the Yahoo founder, the Tim Cook, the Apple guy. That low-life Sean Parker, the Napster, that one trips me out. The guy who invented stealing music. The guy who invented stealing music and then got in bed with Mark Zuckerberg, who stole Facebook from two twins. I mean, just thieves. Thieves. So, you know what? What am I saying? Of course they're not coming up with what it is that voters like about Trump. Of course. None of them
have that in their repertoire. What they have in their repertoire is how to steal things. That's what they have. Tim Cook didn't create anything. Dobbs created stuff. Tim Cook just stole. He just stole that job. Parker, Zuckerberg, they're thieves. They're all thieves. So in turn, what are they doing? Trying to figure out how to steal the nomination from Trump. That's what they're doing. Instead of figuring out how do we get the message that Trump is giving these people, how do we hijack, how do we steal that message? There, if they're thieves, how do we steal Trump? How do we steal that? Oh, we'll have Mitt Romney. Well, I mean, it's like they're just clueless. Just clueless. Absolutely clueless. Absolutely clueless. It's amazing. It's amazing. They just don't get it. They don't get it, and they continue to not get it. Because rather it's MSNBC, NBC, Fox, any of these channels that have an establishment Republican on, rather it's this Ben Ginsburg or that Stevens, he's all over the place. The former Romney campaign guy, the guy who was in charge of running Romney's campaign, Stevens. These guys will sit there with a straight face on the NBCs and in the boxes and talk about a contested convention, a brokered convention. And they go, well, it's not a brokered, it's a contested. Brokered's like a back room dude. That's not it. Contested convention. The rules state that if a candidate doesn't have the 1,235 delegates, whatever the hell the exact number is, they go to a first ballot. If that doesn't happen, the delegates get unbound, and then they can go anywhere. Those are the rules. And somebody will bring up to them, wait a minute. So what you're saying is, if Trump gets to the convention and he has more delegates than anyone, he has more popular votes than anyone, he has more states than anyone, you're saying you are completely fine with taking that nomination and giving it to somebody that either didn't go through the primary process or somebody that might be 200, 300, 400, 500 delegates less than Trump, 2, 3, 4, 5 million popular votes less than Trump, and say 10, 15, 20 states less than Trump. Yes, those are the rules. The rules were set. And you're saying that there won't be a revolt. You're saying that the millions and millions and millions of people that voted for Trump, the millions of people have sat in the snow and the rain. You're telling me all of these people will go, hey, the rules are the rules. Who do you want us to vote for? Oh, Marco Rubio, no problem. Well, the rules are the... I mean, it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing to watch the Ben Ginsburgs
and the Stevens and the Matt Lewis. It's mind-blowing to watch them, this denial. I mean, it really is. It's not a denial of Trump, but a denial of the realities that if Trump gets to the convention and he's 200-300 delegates away, and is purposely done. Because remember, we talked about this yesterday. If you really, really, really want to be completely honest, you could have had candidates stay in these primary races right up to the convention. You easily could have had one or two of these candidates stay in these races in 2012 and 2008 all the way to the convention. It's just common practice in politics that at a certain point, the party, the elders, say to whoever is in second or third, hey, you need to drop out. It's over. A lot of them are senators. Some of them are governors. And they just go right back to their old job, i.e. Ted Cruz, i.e. Rand Paul. They go right, Chris Christie. They go right back to their old job. And then the person who is leading basically marches through to all the primaries. They're uncontested. Gets way over the delegate count. And that whole process really becomes a general election warm-up. Newt Gingrich could have done that. Sure, you run out of money, but you still could limp on. There's always somebody there to give you money. There's always, maybe not a lot, but you always have supporters. You will always have supporters. Hell, I think it was in Missouri or Mississippi that Ben Carson actually got votes. He's not even running anymore, and he got votes. So if you really wanted to have a contested convention, you could have a contested convention every primary season. This notion that 70% of the electorate doesn't like whoever the front runner is, I told you, is BS. It's hogwash. They've never used this concept of breaking down the votes ever before, at least not in my lifetime. It's never been done. It's never been done. You will always have people that will support certain candidates right to the bitter end. They only go to the nominee because their candidate gets out. And some people lose the enthusiasm and begrudgingly go, all right, I'll pull the trigger because that's what I got to do. But they're not going to the rallies. They're not standing there in lines for 4 or 5 hours. They're not waving flags. They're not doing stuff they did for their other candidate because there's no bond. There's no emotional bond. If you're a football fan and you are a diehard Bills fan and you go to the Bills games, and you paint your face and you and your buddy have the D in the fence and you're doing the shirt thing and it's 10 below and you're, yeah, I'm bare chested. Well, Buffalo doesn't make the playoffs. You don't go do that for the Jets. You might go to a Jets game. You might watch the Jets in the playoffs. But you're not going to watch the Jets with that same enthusiasm. You're a football fan. You love football. So, of course, you're going to watch the Jets. You're going to watch the playoffs. You're going to watch the Super Bowl. But it's not the same. And it's no different with politics. Voters have a connection. They have an emotional connection. They have a bond. And they will follow that candidate to the bitter end. If they're with them from day one, they're with them from day one. And they're with them in day 30. And they're with them from day 60. And they're with them from day 120. They're with them to the end. Or her. Some candidates to the bitter end have 5-10%. Some candidates to the bitter end have, I mean, look at Rubio. Rubio's what? 10%? 15%? He has 10 or 15% of the Republican electorate that will be with him to the bitter end. No different than Newt Gingrich. No different than Rick Santorum, Mike Huckabee. So this notion that Donald Trump is going to go to the convention, he's going to be a couple hundred delegates shy of the number. And the only reason that is the case is because the establishment purposely kept people like Rubio and Cruz and or Kasich in the race to deny Trump the 1236 or 1246, whatever the hell it is, and then be able to have Ben Ginsburg say, the rules are the rules. The rules are the rules. He didn't get the number, so that's it. So now we're giving it to Marco Rubio. It's insane. It's insane. The people that voted for Trump will tell Ginsburg, they will tell the Republican establishment, they will tell the Republican elders to go F themselves. They will literally tell them to F themselves. And they will get slaughtered in the general election. If they think they will get slaughtered in the general election because they have Trump, they will really get slaughtered. If they have a Rubio or Cruz or Kasich or a Mitt Romney or a Paul Ryan, and they went and told 5, 6, 7 million Trump supporters to go get effed, to go get effed. The 47% of the Mississippi voters, hey, your vote doesn't count. F you. We now want you to vote for Marco Rubio, the guy that 20,000 of you voted for. We want you to vote for Kasich. We want you to vote for Mitt Romney, the guy that you rejected. It's insane. It's insane. I mean, imagine the Ginsburg. Imagine the Stevens. Imagine the Matt Lewis. Imagine all of these establishment pundits and workers. Imagine their thought process. Imagine what they're saying. Imagine what they're saying. They are going to take the nomination away from Trump They're going to take the nomination away from Trump and give it to a fellow establishment candidate. So here's the concept. The Republican voters are and independents and Democrats are voting for Donald Trump in droves. And one of their main things, one of the selling points is that Trump is not part of the establishment. He's an outsider. He tells it the way it is. That is what is appealing to them. Now, the Ginsburgs, the establishment, are now going to take the nomination away and give it to an individual who the base, who the voting Republican base is saying that they don't want. Is that just beyond asinine? So you have the Republican base, the voters in the Republican Party saying, we don't like the establishment. We don't want a business as usual. We don't want that. And the establishment is going to take the nomination away and give it to somebody that the voters are not voting for. It's a delusion. It's an absolute delusion. And the Ginsburg and the Lewises, and they all sit there with a straight face. And they're like, well, hey, the rules are the rules. And when they get pressed, yeah, but don't you think the voters will, well, the rules are the rules. And when the rules are explained to them, then they'll understand it. They'll understand it. They'll understand it. They'll understand it. The rules are the rules. They'll understand it. That's why we set these rules up. For this exact thing to happen. What exact thing to happen? What exact thing to happen? To have a dominant candidate, and as the process starts to unfold, and you have people that have no path to the nomination, who are supposed to get out, purposely stay in to deny the front runner the number of delegates that he needs to win according to the rules. Yeah, we'll just explain. You're going to explain that? You're going to explain that the process was rigged? That's it. Well, it's not rigged. The rules are rules. But you're not playing by the rules. The rules of the Republican Party, or the unwritten rules, is as time goes on and each candidate no longer has a legitimate path, they get out. Right now, Marco Rubio has no legitimate path. For all intents and purposes, mathematically, he is done. Even if he wins Florida, Marco Rubio is done. He's done. He cannot get the number. John Kasich is done. John Kasich has less delegates than Marco Rubio. John Kasich has something like 50 or 60 delegates. It is mathematically impossible for John Kasich to win. Mathematically impossible. That's it. It's it. It's over. You are rigging the system. When in other elections, a John Kasich would be out. a Marco Rubio would be out. And after next Tuesday, Cruz will be out. Because the guy that is second, if he can't win the majority of states, would get out. Next Tuesday, it should be over. It should be over. If Ted Cruz can't win the majority of states on Tuesday, it's over. So the system is rigged. The system is rigged. And the notion that, well, Trump doesn't have the support of these people. Trump doesn't have the support of all these people, or they'd be voting for him. That's not true. That's not true. That is absolutely not true. You have people that are emotionally connected to Ted Cruz. You have people that are emotionally attached to Marco Rubio and John Kasich, albeit smaller, but you have people that are emotionally attached. Those people are not going to leave. You think Glenn Beck's going to leave Ted Cruz? Look at the guy. He's running around with fake documents from George Washington or Abraham, whatever the hell. He's running around with all this stuff. He's diehard Cruz. If you're a diehard Cruz, you're a diehard Cruz. Unfortunately for Cruz, there's more diehard Trumps than there are diehard Cruzes. And in 2012, you had diehard Newt Gingriches. And if Newt Gingrich wanted to stay in to the bitter end, he could have. But even though he's not an insider, he is an insider. Even though he's not an establishment player and he goes against the grain, he's an establishment player. And as such, he did what he's supposed to do and he got out. There was no mathematical path for him anymore. That's it. But if he wanted to, he could have stayed to the bitter end and he would have always had, election after election, 20%, 25%. His supporters were not all of a sudden going to go, I'm a Mitt Romney supporter. Wasn't going to happen. It doesn't happen. Enough with this, well, 20% here, Trump doesn't have that. He's not going to have that. He's not. As long as Ted Cruz is in the race, Trump is not going to get those Ted Cruz supporters. No different than Ted Cruz is not going to get the Donald Trump supporters. It's pretty much cemented now, my friends. Okay? The 47% that went for Trump in Mississippi, that 11 or 12 points that went more for Trump, all of a sudden, 2 weeks from now, is not going to go to Cruz. The 14 points that Cruz lost in Michigan, those people are not going to all of a sudden go for Cruz. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. It's just this constant pushback on every aspect. Man.